To live a life that wins, it's all a lot of little things. Just little things. You ever see people pulling their pants up all the time? How many ever see people pulling their pants up? Well, then, why don't you wear suspenders? I wear suspenders all the time. And that keeps your pan hanging straight, right? Like a, just ching, straight down. See what I mean? See? But, believe it or not, people won't even buy suspenders. Isn't that kind of dumb? Say, that's dumb. And I'm not putting you down. You understand? I'm on your side. I'm just trying to give you these little tips of life. If you study life and just really study it, you'll learn all kinds of things. You know, you just keep learning. I learned something last night in a book Carl gave me. I like to do things really well. That's my nature. Because, see, there's only two things in life that determine your final outcome: taste and judgment. Do you understand? Taste and judgment determine your final outcome. I like to do things well. I find out it costs you no less to do things right than to do them wrong. You've heard the old line, it's better to take a little longer to do it right the first time than have to redo it the second time, correct? It's easy for me to be hard on myself, see, because I'm harder on myself than I am on anybody else. See? And because of that, it's hard for me to tolerate mistakes. Success is a series of little victories. Little victories. Just one victory right after another, after another, after another, after another. If you want people to have a good impression of you, just remember this. People judge you by how you dress. Don't ever forget that. Like that. That first impression. You never get a second chance to make a first impression. Say it with me. You never get a second chance to make a first impression. So if you're children of the King, dress sharp. Because that's who you are. You don't dress elaborate, but sharp. You understand? Is that okay? I'm on your side. That's why I'm trying to share with you all this good stuff. I know some employees that just continually rise in their company. I know people who get all kinds of jobs and everything just because they're just sharp people. Why do people say they're sharp? They say they're sharp because they look sharp. Secondly, another way that you can win in life is don't talk about your failures. Some people feel that they're not really candid with a person unless they tell about their failures to their friends. And whatever you talk about, that's what people are going to imply, are going to remember that you are. Don't talk about your failures to people. They got enough failures of their own. Don't talk about how, well, Mary's sick again today. I don't know. It could be a migraine or it could be that tooth. I don't know whether it's Mary's migraine or her tune. Well, why burden your neighbor with that bunch of yuck? Your neighbor can't change Mary's migraine nor her tooth. So just build your neighbor up that day, right? Watch your conversation of your mouth. Build people up. And I'm still trying to learn this. Do you read the first thing you get up in the morning? See those first few seconds when you're kind of lying around, they're kind of doggy. How many wake up slow like me? Raise your hand. Okay, so you fill your mind with thoughts. See, that way you can think about those things while you're dressing. Otherwise, you'd waste all that time pulling your socks on. How dumb. Right? Do you think about those little things like that? That's all little things. See, that way you got your brain going before you plug in and throw in a cassette. So that way when you're in there showering, you can just think about all that stuff, see? You don't waste all that time. I mean, isn't getting ready a bore? How many get bored getting ready? Say amen. And the older you get, the longer it takes. You know what I'm saying? See, the great despair I have in my heart is you're going to go right from this seminar and go back home to the same sloppy agape lifestyle. Agape is the Greek word for love. But, you know, just kind of sloppy, you know. And you don't watch all the little things. You don't watch the injection of what people are saying to you. See, you got, there's several forces in your life that are really important. Your mate, if you're a married person, is really affects your environment. Make sure your mate is positive, and you try to be positive to your mate, building up one another in the faith. See? Because what will happen is if you get picky on your mate, then your mate gets picky on the kids, and then the kids get kicking the dog, and the dog yells, and the dog bites the cat, and before long, the whole house is in a turmoil. Isn't that right? It just goes on and on. And then finally, you go off to work in a tiff. And then the workers meet you and they get this negative reaction. Carl was talking about the human aura. That aura. How do you have that aura? You got to have that aura. That energy has to radiate off from you because you're positive on life. See, this environment is important. Your house, your mate, the friends you hang around. What kind of friends do you have? Write down the names right now of the names of three world-changing people you hang around. Write down the names. They don't have to be famous, but they're out to change the world. When you go to their house, they're talking about reaching Minnesota for Christ or Wisconsin. They're talking about changing the world. You go to their house. Okay, write down the names of three world-changing people that you hang around. I notice about a fourth of you are writing. The rest of you just staring at your page. There, right there is where you're losing it. Right there is where you're losing it. Because if you can't go over to somebody's place and they're not talking about the great things of the world and about really seeking God and really winning the world and really caring about the life-changing principles of life, then what's going to happen to you, you're going to end up talking about the Minnesota Vikings and the weather and the layoffs and the economy and kids and gossip and yuck and junk, and you've got garbage in your head. Why do you hang around people that yuck up your head? They're yucking up your head because they don't have anything positive to say. They don't do anything. You understand? You say, but I like Elmer and Louise. Yeah, but Elmer and Louise aren't going anywhere. All they are is an intestinal tract. That's all they care about is how they feel, how they eat, how they sleep, whether the toothy hurts. They're just caring about the intestinal tract. That's all they care about. You can't, when you get done with Elmer and Louise, do you get down in the middle of the living room and on your knees and pray and seek God and hallelujah, praise the Lord? Are they the kind of folk you can do that with? If not, don't go near them. I'm telling you, I'm coming on here. Because you cannot allow yourself to be sucked in to this vacuum of banal, empty, worthless, garbage talk. It destroys your aura. It destroys your sense of nobility. You say, well, that's snobbery. Not at all. Jesus had multitudes that followed him. He had 70 disciples. He had 12 apostles. And he spent most of his time with three, Peter, James, and John. Christ knew in order to build the kingdom God called him to build, he'd have to surround himself with a few good men. Got that? He ministered to everybody. He would help everybody. And you should help everybody. But when you choose to go to someone's house, you will not go there unless that person is on your wavelength of what they're trying to do. Now, I told you a bundle of truth right there. You see it, don't you? How many see it? Raise your hand. You see it, see? And so what happens is you yuck down to their yuck level. And then you walk around life feeling yucky. Right? You've got to create this environment. You've got the beautiful music in your home. You've got the good books. You've got the tapes, cassettes. You've got your mates. You've got your kids clued in. You know, my kids help contribute to my environment, really. Londa and Lisa are always getting good books, good articles, and saying, read this, read that. John Poor back there on the soundboard, he's getting good books for me, saying, Lowell, read this, read that. You understand? See, and so you gradually, just like jacking up a house, you know, you just one notch at a time. Right? Everything, every little thing, it helps you. See, taste and judgment are the two final things that determine whether or not you're separated from the pack. Taste and judgment. Always develop taste and judgment. Taste and judgment. If you want an aura about you, if you want people to look at you, then develop taste and judgment. How many think you've got the best mattress you've ever slept on? Come on, raise your hand. How many have the best mattress you have ever slept on? Okay, over half of you need new mattresses because you're going to spend one-third of your lifetime in bed, right? Flat on your back. How many know you work 8 hours, sleep 8 hours, play 8 hours, right? If you're going to spend one-third of your lifetime, 25 years in one spot, you should make it a nice spot, right? Say amen. Come on, look over at your neighbor. Say, fix up your spot. You wouldn't think that we today would have to teach people how to sleep. You understand? Okay. But because I like things good and that, I have a tendency to be really hard on myself. Really, I do. And I read a line last night in a book Carl gave me that's just really helping me. Boy, I'm just chewing on it. It's so good, I just don't even want to wait a week to tell you. I want to tell you about it right now. The important thing is when you make a mistake, understand that mistakes are part of the human experience. Understand that mistakes are part of the human experience. See? Because what do you do when you make a mistake? A blunder, a boo-boo. You get down on yourself, don't you? At least I have. Maybe you don't, but I'm the kind of person that does. And learn that that's all part of the human experience. It is. Sure. It's part of the human experience to make mistakes. Just figure that's just all, that's the way it goes. Oh, this morning... Last night I was so tired after I went to bed, I took out one of my soft lens contacts and I put it in the container, but I forgot to really open up the contact because it's soft, you know, just like a real light fish scale. And it stuck together, and then this morning I got up and the thing was still stuck together in the case, and I was trying to straighten it out and I broke the thing. See, I mean, so I got only one contact in. You and this side look good, and you and this side are good. So I read that last night. Now, if this would have been my regular morning, that would have bugged me. But I've got to just learn now. Okay, Lowell, that's just the way it goes. You can't shortchange. You have to straighten that contact out in the case. That's just all part of the deal. You understand? It bugs me because I don't like to spend that $30 for another contact. See? Because otherwise, you'll end up, you dummy. You're just a dummy. Yeah, dumb. See? And then I get down on myself. And that destroys that aura, right? That great human aura. And secondly, here's the second thing. When you make a mistake,
Understand, mistakes are part of the human experience. Number two, forgive yourself. My daughter Lisa was walking down the hotel the other day from the seventh floor to the sixth floor or something like that. And we'd been up late till about 3 o'clock the night before and got in early, and she had to get up, and she only had about 3 hours sleep. And the poor girl, she was just, you know, teenagers, you know, they just need sleep, otherwise they're zombie-like, you know. And she was walking around kind of in her zombie-like stage, and she slipped and fell, boom, right down the stairs. Oh, feet and heels flying. Oh, my heart went right out to her. And I rushed down there, and she got a bruise on her knee, but thankfully she didn't break a leg or anything. But my heart went right out to her. Because, see, I had no feeling in my heart to my daughter Lisa. You dummy, all I cared about was that she felt good. And she was all right. That's the same as every parent, right? Now, what do you do about yourself when you make a mistake? Do you forgive yourself? I bet that some of you are here right now still condemning yourself for a mistake you made years ago. When you got married, no. No. But learn to forgive yourself. Be your own best friend, right? Hug yourself. Everybody hug yourself. Say, I like me. And I'm going to be good to me. Because I'm the only me I've got. Come on, say it. I'm going to be my own friend. And when I do dumb things, I'm going to forgive myself. Because making mistakes is part of the human experience. I'm going to have fun with me. See, you never thought of that, did you, some of you? So you got to do that. And that enables you to get on with living, see? Praise God. God wants to make some winners out of you. He wants you to be those bright-eyed, joyous-spirited, positive, life-changing people that others want to get near so they can feel the warmth of your own spirit radiating on them. Isn't that what you want? Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. The letter of the book of Revelation is from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. If you want to be a positive person, always make sure your sins are all forgiven. Don't live with unconfessed sin in your life. That'll drag you down quicker than anything else. When David sinned, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He said, "Renew a right spirit within me." When you sin, it destroys your spirit. Your countenance falls. Remember when Cain got jealous of Abel? He was jealous because God respected Abel's offering and not Cain's. God sent fire on Abel's offering and not on Cain's. Remember that? At least we think it was fire that God sent. There was some obvious approval that God gave of Abel's offering that he didn't give to Cain's. Because Cain offered what? Vegetables. And Abel offered a lamb with the blood. The way sins are taken away is by the blood, not by vegetables. See, it's a principle of atonement. At one-ment. The word atonement means at one-ment, when you're at one with God. The way you get at one with God is that the blood of the innocent is spilled for the guilty. That's a principle of God. God taught it. He gave it to Cain and Abel. He gave it to Adam and Eve. They gave it to Cain and Abel. So Abel offered the blood of the lamb, and Cain offered vegetables. God respected Abel's offering, but not Cain's. Then God said to Cain, "Why is your countenance fallen?" He lost the aura immediately. Because he was jealous. Jealousy will eat a hole in you. That green monster will just crawl into your head and heart and just cloud you over. Now, God told Cain, if thou doest well, shalt thou not also be accepted? God told Cain, he says, don't get jealous of Abel. Just find out what Abel's doing. Do right, and then I'll bless you too. Isn't that nice? See? If you're ever tempted to be jealous by the rich man, find out what the rich man's doing and then get rich like him. Don't be jealous of the guy. Do what he does. See? How many times do you ever get around a rich man and go up to the rich man and say, how did you get rich? Do you ever talk to rich people and have them tell you how to do it? No. When you get around a real rich man, he wheels up in a Cadillac and he walks out with beautiful big diamond rings and all that, and he's got that aura of confidence, you just kind of wilt around him. How dumb! Walk up to that guy and say, listen, I'm a poor man, but I got a lot of good ideas. I need some help. Will you help me? I want to learn what you know. And most guys that are worth their salt will be impressed because you acknowledge their success. And secondly, you ask for their help. And most people who are successful want to reproduce themselves in you, and they want disciples. Do you understand that? So, if you're tempted to be jealous, just do what's right, and God will bless you too. Correct? Most ladies look at a woman that's really beautiful, and say, oh, I wish I could be beautiful like her. Well, chances are, you could go to the right hairstylist and the right person, and they could make you look a lot more beautiful. Right? Sell a bunch of junk in the garage and go over there and say, hey, make me look better. Right? Come on, say amen. Amen. But here's the lady, you know. She says, well, I'm just not beautiful. I don't know. Wait a second, lady. I look at a lot of ladies. If they just had a different hairdo, oh, what God could do for them. Say amen. Amen. See, and the same way with guys. They get paunchy and let themselves go. And look at Carl. I mean, there's a pretty good hunk there for 60. Come on, Carl. Come on out here. Look at here. Listen, Carl. Look at here. How old are you, Carl?
61.
61. What did you do on your 60th birthday?
Jog 20 miles.
Jog 20 miles. See what I mean? See, that's why his brain, you know, you feel when you're listening to Carl, you're not listening to a 60-year-old. When you listen to Carl, you feel like you're listening to a young man. Why? Because they found that beyond the age of 40, if you don't exercise enough, if you don't exercise strenuously so you sweat, the blood vessels to your brain actually begin to shrink, and you cut off the supply to your brain, and your brain begins to deteriorate for a lack of good blood supply. And if you don't sweat really good often, your brain is actually turning to stone. Do you really sweat out? Come on, guys. Come on, guys. You sweating out? You working hard? I mean, work it off. See? And then what happens is your brain's got nice fresh blood. The first time Carl jogged, how far did you jog, Carl? Tell them about that experience here. Boy, we're cruising here. Man, we got stuff rolling off the wire.
Yeah, I've been a high school athlete, letterman in football, played defensive and offensive, played 30 out of 32 quarters in football my last year. Here I was in my 40s and weighed 264 pounds and jogged the length of a football field and had to walk back. I thought, what a mess. But I was determined to change, and so I just kept working at it.
We're talking about just living now. This aura, see? If you're walking around your brain's heck on, you know. What kind of advertisement are you for the kingdom of God? Herman of the Munsters. We got Herman. So, what's the key to jealousy? If you want to get over jealousy, just do right, correct? Then God will bless you too. Don't ever be jealous of somebody else. If somebody else is doing good in life, find out what made them good. I've always admired the fellow, Clement Stone. Have you ever heard of Clement Stone? Anybody ever heard of Clement Stone? Raise your hand. Clement Stone is a multi-millionaire. He might be a billionaire by now. I mean, he's way up there. One of the wealthiest men in America. How many of you would like to have his millions? Raise your hand. Wouldn't you like to have his millions? Come on, say amen. Now, don't say that the rich man, oh, he might be rich, but I bet he's not happy. Do you know, generally speaking, I've seen rich people happier than poor people. That's right. That's a little lie, the poor play. There's no more miserable person in the world than one who's not successful. That's right. I've been around the poor and I've been around the rich, and I'll have to tell you honestly, rich for poor, the rich are happier than the poor. That's right. Don't let them tell you that lie. That's a lie the poor people play. They play the lie on themselves. They say, well, he might be rich, but I'm happy. No. He doesn't worry over his bills at night. He's just paying them all, and he's just doing great and traveling here and going to Hawaii. Wouldn't that be fun? Say amen. Come on. Okay, so what are you doing? Now, what are you learning to learn to get rich like those guys are? What are you doing? I went down to a bookstore the other day, and I picked up a book for $3.50 where Clement Stone tells about the guaranteed laws of success. And for $3.50, I bought a book where Clement Stone lays out all the keys that made him successful. For $3.50. I mean, less than a stop at McDonald's. Or Perkins. I picked up a book the other day. Get this. Art Linkletter is worth millions. I mean, he might be worth $500 million now. I mean, he's unbelievably wealthy, Art Linkletter. Now, Art Linkletter, in the very last of his days, what does he do? He decides he's going to write a book now because he's made all his money, so he writes a book titled Yes, You Can. Have you read that book? Have you seen that book? Yes, You Can. And I went down and I found this book, and here Art Linkletter tells all the secrets that make all the millions. Now, you would think, honestly, that the poor, the people that are like us, right? We're poor. Say amen. Come on, I'm like you. But the reason I'm searching for all this stuff is not so I can be rich myself, but to make you rich. You understand? I'm trying to find the principles because my calling is not to raise money. My calling is to help bless you and to multiply you. Now, you would think that the average person struggling here on the Iron Range would be down there at the library studying and reading. You'd think that he'd be walking through the bookstores. Look, where's the book by Clement Stone? He's rich. Where's the book by David Rockefeller? Why, man, where are those books? I gotta learn. You'd think he'd almost be down on his knees begging the book dealer, saying, please, 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 I'm poor. I can't pay my bills. I'm struggling. I want to send my kids to college. I want to go to Hawaii on a vacation. I want to have a better house. I want a better car. Please, can you tell me, what are the books written by these men who are successful? Will he get down on his knees and beg for those books? No. He'll sit at home and toss and turn on his mattress and say, oh, how am I going to solve these problems? Without ever stopping to realize that it's already unlocked. His answers are there for the seeking. Say amen. Amen. But I can just feel your brain going kaplunk, kaplunk, kaplunk. Because you see it now, don't you see it? You see it, see, and you can have it. You can have it. It's right there. Now I'm still struggling with the lie I dealt with yesterday morning because some of you are still clicking back in the old philosophy. We're not supposed to seek. Well, no, we're not seeking the riches. We're seeking what the things can do. We're seeking what the success can do. We're seeking what the power can do. We're seeking only for what that can for the enlargement of the kingdom of God. Because what are the five reasons you want to prosper? Give them to me again. Why should you want to prosper? Be an example to others. Number two, to provide for your family. Number three, to be able to give to others. Number four, to send the gospel around the world. Number five, so that you can concentrate fully on the gospel. Come on. So, go here to Revelation 1. Remember, that's where I was. Boy, that tree had a long limb and a branch. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our own sin in his own blood, and hath made us what? Kings and what? How many know that you're a king? Say amen. Amen. A queen. Do you understand? The Bible says God hath made us kings and priests unto God. We're made royalty. The meek shall what? Do you realize that God's plan is to build you into a leader for the world to come? Now, do you have the aura of a king or a queen or royalty? Come on. See, because the average Christian kind of goes around, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know, it reminds me of a dog we had back home. This dog had an inferiority complex. This dog was the best dog. It could kill more rats. It was the best hunting dog and the best watchdog we ever had. And that little black dog was just great, but the dog had a complex. Every time you'd walk up, it'd have its tail between its legs, and it would roll over on its back, and it would go, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. It was just honestly terrorized by people. This dog had an inferiority complex. Have you ever seen a dog with an inferiority complex? Raise your hand. Well, many of you have. Sure you have. Well, just like people. Some people have it, you know. You ask them, who are you? You know, I'm just a sinner. I just get by. They never really look you in the eye. Shake their hand, it's like a wet fish. What? You are going to rule the world. Come on, how many know you're royalty?
Amen.
Say, I am royalty.
I am royalty.
Say, I am a royal blue blood. I've got the king's blood in my veins. We're going to rule the world. Here's what you need to say. Say this. Say, hey, look at me. I'm a ruler to be. Come on, say it at the count of three. Throw up your hand and yell it out. One, two, three. Hey, look at me. I'm a ruler to be. Now you go down to work like that tomorrow. They'll say, where have you been? Did you get a facelift? No, I got a faith lift. Right. Hallelujah. Boy, isn't this exciting? How many feel the excitement of God in it? Say amen.
Amen.
And we're priests. We are priests unto God. The Bible says he has made us priests. Now, don't let the devil ever take these truths away from you. You say, well, you can't say that. Well, I sure can. He hath made us kings and priests unto God. Wow. What privilege. Glory to God. Isn't that? You can just feel the truth settling in, can't you? Turn to Deuteronomy 28. That's to your left. Some people are just flying through the Bible like God is in there somewhere. So that gets you in the general vicinity. It's to the left. Okay. Deuteronomy 28. I want to show you what God wants to do for you. It shall come to pass, Deuteronomy 28, starting verse 1. Now mark up your Bible. Do you mark up your Bible? Be sure you mark your Bible up, because as soon as you die, the first thing your relatives do is dig out your Bible. And you want to leave good markings in your Bible. Just like a man going through the woods the first time will mark the trees so the trail so others can follow him, you want to mark that Bible so they can follow the trail through and find God. Find out what made you click while you were here ticking. Okay, Deuteronomy 28:1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Notice the series of blessings. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. You'll be blessed when you live in town. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. You'll be blessed if you live in the country. A lady came up to me after the seminar in Spokane, and she says, "Thank you for giving me this." She said, "I was used to always living in the big town, and ever since I married my husband and lived out here in the country, I've been unhappy." And she says, "Now I see that God says I can be blessed in the country as well as the city." Isn't that nice? Okay, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Your children will be blessed. Isn't that nice? Your kids will be blessed. How many want your kids blessed? Say amen.
Amen.
Well, you have to do all that he commands you now. Everything. You can't pick and choose. If you want these blessings, you can't pick out the commandments you want to obey, and then it's not select 3 out of 10. It's not multiple choice. That's right. It's the whole thing or nothing. Okay, if you want your kids blessed, blessed shall be the fruit of the ground. Your ground's going to multiply. And blessed shall be the fruit of thy cattle. Your cattle are going to increase. Isn't that something? There's a friend of mine by Brookings, South Dakota, that got converted in a Lundstrom crusade. He began to discover the promises in God's word, and he found this one in Deuteronomy 28 where it says that God will bless the fruit of his cattle will be multiplied. His father has been farming for about 35 years. He's got about 600 head of cattle. And I guess he said down through the years they'd only had 3 sets of twins in all the many years they've had cattle. So he understood here that this cow should have more twins because he's a Christian. So he would open up his Bible and literally open up his Bible and walk past the cows while they were eating. And he would say, "God's word says because you belong to me and I belong to God, you're supposed to multiply." And he'd read these promises from Deuteronomy 28 to those cows. In the first year, they had 9 sets of twins. Hold the Bible up, fellas. Hold it up to your wife. Scared to death, boys. Look at verse 5. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. You'll be blessed in the store. How many of you ladies get blessed in the store, walking down the aisle, throwing the goodies in the thing? Do you get blessed when you go to the store? Or do you go to the store and say, "Oh, I can't afford that"? No. Move on. Move on. Wouldn't it be great to have so much that you get blessed in the store? Say amen, ladies. Well, keep God's commandments. Keep everything he says. Glory to God. See? Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. When you come home from work. Remember? You'll be blessed because you'll be driving in the driveway. The stereo's playing. The music's on. And what is your wife going to say? "Come on in, baby. Take your coat off." It's going to be interesting when you get home, won't it be? Say amen. Blessed shalt thou be when thou go. Wouldn't that shock him? Wouldn't that really shock him? Make sure he's jogging a lot before you do that, because his heart will stop, I'll tell you that. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. You'll be blessed going to work. Oh, your family will just see you off. It'll be wonderful. You'll all drive to work with the blessing of God. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. God will whomp them. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you 7 ways. And the Lord shall command the blessing upon thy storehouses. That's upon your savings account. Isn't that nice? You'll have a nice balance in the savings. Won't that be nice? Say amen.
Amen.
And in all that thou settest thy hand to do, The Lord shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself. Do you see the purpose God wants you to be for him? As he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see. You understand? See, that's why we want to be blessed. They're going to see. See, some of you have accepted that poverty philosophy, saying, well, I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be successful. I don't want to be powerful. I just want to be in my own little house and do my own little thing. Yeah. And so they look at you and say, I don't want to be like you. God wants to bless you so people take a look at you and say, wow, I want what you've got. Right? Come on, sister. Amen. And the Bible says, and all the people there shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord and shall be afraid of thee. They won't dare take you to court because they know that if they sue you, God will get them. That you'll win. Isn't that nice? Free from lawsuits. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. Plenteous. How many would say your condition right now is plenteous? Raise your hand. You got a bundle. It's happening. Good. Okay. Well, if you don't, here's how you get it. And the fruit of thy body. That's right. I read the front cover of the Time magazine or the Newsweek magazine this week says 1 out of 3 couples can't have kids. 1 out of 3 cannot have children. And I believe God will bless you with children. And the blessed be the fruit of thy body, the cattle, and the ground. Verse 12, the Lord shall open the good treasure of heaven to give rain in the land. You'll have lots of rain, and thou shalt lend unto many nations and shalt not borrow. How about that? You'll have so much that the banks are going to be wanting you to put your money in their bank. Instead of you going down to the bank or sitting there with your hat in your hand begging for a loan, the banker will be calling you up and saying, John, would you consider putting your money in my bank? Could we make an appointment? I'd like to take you out to lunch. How about that? Say amen.
Amen.
And you'd say, well, I may consider it. Thou shalt lend and shalt not borrow. That's what God's word says. Look at verse 13. Of the Lord shall make you the head and not the what?
Tail.
Yeah, if you, which end of the horse you want to be. The Lord shall make you the head, not the tail. You're not going to be dragging up in life. Thou shalt be above only and shall not be beneath. That's even interesting there. I don't want people lying all over me like an elephant. And thou shalt hearken to the commandments of the Lord thy God to observe and to do them. See? Now, look at what happens here if you don't. Verse 15, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, all these curses shall come on thee. Verse 16, cursed will you be in town. You'll be cursed in the country. You'll be cursed in the food store. You'll be cursed in your children, the fruit of your cattle. Cursed you will be when you come in, and cursed will you be when you go out. The Lord will send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do. And thou shalt be destroyed until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings. The Lord shall make the pestilence to cleave unto you. You'll get every disease that comes to the county. The Lord shall smite you with consumption, with fever, and with inflammation, and with an extreme burning, blasting, and mildew. Do you like my literal interpretation? Say amen. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass. You'll pray and won't get answers. Look at that. You won't even get answers to your prayers. And the Lord shall make the rain dust. Verse 25, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before your enemies. You won't win. You'll go out against them one way and flee 7 ways. And you'll be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth. You'll always be moving, traveling here, going there. And thy carcass shall be meat to the fowls of the air. And the Lord will smite you with a botch and emerods, boils, scabs. You won't be healed. You won't find any answer to it. The Lord will smite you with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. You'll always be afraid. You'll grope at noonday as a blind man gropeth in the darkness. Verse 30, you'll be engaged to a wife and another man will lie and have sex with her. You'll build a house and you won't even dwell there. You'll plant a vineyard and you'll not even gather the grapes, and thy ox shall be slain before your eyes. Verse 33, thou shalt be oppressed and crushed always. The end of verse 33. You'll be oppressed and crushed always. Verse 38, thou shalt carry much seed into the field and gather little in. Verse 41, you'll beget sons and daughters, and you won't even enjoy them. Verse 43, the stranger that is within thee shall be above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. Verse 44, he shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall come on thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not to the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. Verse 47, because thou servest not the Lord God with what?
Joy.
Yeah, God wants you to serve him with what?
Joyfulness.
God wants you to wake up in the morning with a hallelujah in your heart. Right? Say amen.
Amen.
Come on, raise your hand and yell out hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, some of you don't have that. You got the spooks around your house because you don't ever praise God out loud. It's more like a morgue than a hallelujah center. Right? Say amen.
Amen.
The only thing you feel perking in your house is the coffee out there. You need to have things perking in your heart, right? Say amen.
Amen.
Before your feet even hit the floor, you're praising God because you've got all the good truth in your heart, right? Say amen.
Amen.
And when you take a shower, you're going to praise God in the shower, right? Say amen.
Amen.
Your hands are already half up anyway. Raise them the rest of the way and praise God while you're showering, right? Say amen.
Amen.
Say, God, while the water washes my body, Lord, you wash my spirit. And boy, you take off like a shot every day. Right? Say amen.
Amen.
You want that spark and that aura? You want to live like a winner? There it is. Do it all. Do the good stuff. Serve God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. I could go on and on there. But these are the promises of God. Let me show you one area that really shows where your heart is. Turn to Malachi 3. Find Matthew and take one turn left. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. Find Matthew, take one turn left. Here, I'll show you. I'll tell you what, some people are cursed with a curse. They're cursed in their finances because they've never been generous with God. And here's what the Bible says about giving. Verse 8, notice what it says. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. For you've robbed me, even this whole nation. God says that you'll be cursed financially if you're not generous with this work, if you're not generous in your giving. Could it be that you've got a financial curse on you? Could be. You've got a financial curse because you've never given generously to God. And one of the ways to get the curse quickly is to start taking all your deductions before you start giving. Because you see, what happens is God says give from the first fruits. You give off the top of the deck. You don't leave off the bottom. You give God the first fruits. See, a lot of people like to take all their deductions and then give. But really, the way is to give off the top. Yeah, because if you take all your deductions before you give to God, then God will take all his deductions before he gives back to you. He'll deduct so much for air, so much for sunshine, so much for land use, so much for body use, so much for food, so much for all these things, and at the end of the year, you won't have any money. So if you want God to bless you financially, what do? Give off the top, right? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, bring verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. God says, I want my kingdom taken care of. I don't want any shortchange in the house of God and the things of God. I want my work taken care of. You understand? God's a businessman. Say it with me. I've never said that before. God's a businessman. Say it again.
God's a businessman.
I never thought of that till this is the first time I've said that in my whole life. That's true, isn't it? Say, God's a businessman.
God's a businessman.
And he wants to take care of his business.
Take care of his
business. Boy, that changes things, doesn't it? See, God wants to get people saved in your town. God wants crusades there. God wants Sunday school to grow. God wants the church to grow. God wants people saved. God's a businessman. He wants business. He's doing business for eternity. And he needs funds. Now, the way he funds his kingdom is through his people. And if the people start playing little games and trying to duck out of their obligation to God, then what happens is the curse of God comes on the people that try to do that. So that's why he says you're cursed with a curse, because they were not faithful to give. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that there might be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, you won't even have room enough to receive it. Who's got the Living Bible? Read it for me, sister. What does it say?
Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be food enough in my temple. If you do, I will open up the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing so great You won't have room enough to take it in. Try it. Let me prove it to you.
God says, try it. Let me prove it to you. God says, I'll bless you. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, and neither shall your vine cast her fruit before her time in the field. And verse 12, and all nations shall call you blessed, and you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. So God says, try it. Let me prove it to you. There might be some of you here that are not really giving 10% plus of your income to God. Really, a 10% is just bare beginning, because in Old Testament times, it actually was like up to 30%. But be sure that you give generously to God so that you get the blessing of God upon your finances. And be generous with God. The Lord loves what kind of a giver?
Cheerful.
Cheerful. Do you ever write a check on tithing where it's $27.32? Do you write checks like that? Do you ever put cents on your checks? Say it again, brother.
Round it off.
Yeah, round it off. I mean, if you're going to give 27 bucks, make it 30. I mean, be generous with God. Just write it out good. Just make it happen. Ah. Right? Say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. It works. I can tell you honestly, it works. This summer, we went through a real crisis. In fact, the ministry went right to the brink this summer, because a lot of people started believing all the news reports of what all the forecasters were saying, and instead of giving generously to this ministry, our own supporters began to withdraw their support. They started believing the signs of the times instead of believing the promises of God's Word. Now remember that. Every time you come to give, you'll look, and you'll say, well, can I afford this? You don't look at your checkbook balance. Neither do you look at what the forecasts are as far as the future is concerned. Because your source is not your checkbook, nor your job, nor the economic indicators. Who is your source as a Christian? How many know that God doesn't have any recession? Say amen.
Amen.
How many know that God keeps things rolling along? Say amen.
Amen.
You don't have any problem if you look to God as your source. See, but whenever people come to give, so many of them start looking just at what they've got instead of looking by faith to what God could give them. See? So anyway, we went right to the brink, and we needed a turn to turn the ministry around. Well, we had a bus, a beautiful bus that we had built. They worked on it for 2-3 years, a beautiful bus that was all handmade and built up inside. We were going to use it for our group, but we found out after we had built it all in that our team grew so much that Larry's family could no longer fit into it. We needed more personnel on the road. Well, anyway, this bus was worth $40,000. And so there was this one very dedicated Christian group that needed a bus. Now, many Christian groups had looked at it. Many even suggested I give it to them. But I never felt God leading me to do it. But there was this one very dedicated group. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, give that $40,000 bus to them. I'm not the kind of guy that just pops off 40 grand. Just, you know what I mean? Are you? I mean, I don't usually do that. It's not my average week. But the Lord told me to give it to him. You know what? That turned the ministry. As soon as we gave away that bus, God began to release money back to the ministry. Praise God. So that now the ministry is only down about 365, or at the most 400,000. The Lord has returned back to the ministry $400,000 for the $40,000 investment. Isn't that pretty good? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, when it came time to give, what if I said, well, I can't afford that. I can't. See, if I'd have let human reason overwhelm what God was leading me to do, I'd have never turned it. Now, I don't know. Do you need a turn in your finances? Do you need something to open up the windows of heaven to you? Do you really? How many honestly need something to open the windows of heaven? Raise your hand. How many could use a window, a heaven opening event? Raise your hand and say amen.
Amen.
Okay, what opens the windows of heaven? Tell me what opens the windows of heaven. Giving. So the way to open the windows of heaven is to give. That's the law. When you give, it's just like pulling on a handle and the windows of heaven open up. Now, you got to have faith and you got to believe God, because there's tight times. And when you give, sometimes the devil will test you and try you and say, oh, yeah, you know, He gave and it didn't work. You know what I always tell my partners to do? I say, if you ever give to this ministry for a year and you feel that God hasn't blessed you back, you write to me and I'll send it all back. So nobody ever has to ever give to the ministry feeling they're uptight. Because I really believe that God wants to see his work prosper. And God wants to see you prosper. Right? Say, it's God's will that I prosper.
God's will that I prosper.
And the way I open the windows of heaven, say it,
the way I open the windows of heaven,
is by my generous giving.
By my generous giving.
That's the way it works.